Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-County. With me today, I have a special guest. She's got a great voice as well. Judy Pruitt, Director of the Library, our local City of Jerseyville Library. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you so much.
Yes. So, Judy, you've been taken over director since when?
Since June of 2022 is when I came, and then got to overlap with the former director, Anita Driver, for a while until she retired in July of 2022.
I see. Yeah. So, but you've been at the Jerseyville Library for a while.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been working at the library?
Yep. It's been over 2 years now. So
over 2 years?
Mm-hmm, starting to settle in.
Okay. Oh, so you didn't work prior to the library?
No.
Okay. All right. They found you.
Did.
So where'd you grow up at?
I'm originally from Columbia, Missouri. That's kind of our family's home base.
Okay.
And graduated with my master's in library science from Mizzou and worked at Daniel Boone Regional Library, which is the public library in Columbia, for 10 years.
Yes.
And then my husband and I both got an opportunity to work at North Central University in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so in 2016, we moved up there, and I was the director of the library at that university for 6 years. And then our son, who had left home and grown up and got married, settled in the Wood River Bethalto area, and we decided we wanted to be closer
to your son or to your grandkids.
Well, pretty soon it'll be grandkid any day now. So we knew we needed to get ourselves set up and ready for that.
Okay.
So we started looking for opportunities down this direction, and I came across the job posting for the director position for the Jerseyville Public Library and started talking to them in spring of 2022. And that's how that all came about.
You know, for some reason, I thought you had been around Jerseyville for a long time. You just seem to look and act like you're one of us, like you've been here forever.
Well, you know? It's such a great and friendly and accepting community. It's not real hard to fit in. It's a real wonderful community.
Now, you have one extensive history in the field of being in the library. So tell me, what was your attraction early on to the library?
I originally graduated with my bachelor's degree from what was Sangamon State University, now U of I Springfield, with a bachelor's degree in psychology and elementary education. And taught in the classroom on and off for several years while I was raising my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the early 2000s, when I decided I wanted to go back for more education, I started thinking about what I might want to do. And librarianship kind of, it had all the parts that I loved most about being a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was how I made that decision and completed my master's in 2007. And so this is sort of a second career for me.
You know, even though everybody has a little computer in their pocket, mm-hmm. and they can look up anything that they want to,
tell I
and the listeners what the advantages of a good library in your town, in your city.
Yeah, that's a great question. You're right. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of content out there. But sometimes folks need somebody to be alongside them and help them navigate all of that information to find the best information and the best content for whatever their research or information need is. And so that's where librarians come in to help. We also help to curate collections. Our physical collections that are in the building, books, DVDs, that kind of thing. We invest a lot of time into figuring out what is the best content, the best quality content to have for our community's collection. And so librarians are still very involved in that, in helping patrons navigate information and then also curating content so that when folks use the library, whether it's our physical collections or electronic collections, they can be confident that a librarian has kind of mediated that content and made sure that it's the that it's high quality content, that it's reliable, that it's accurate, that it's been vetted, and kind of gives them a leg up in navigating the huge sea of information that's out there.
Right, because there is a sea when you get on the internet. Yes. It seems like with the internet, it wants to take you in a direction that money can be made off of.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's the direction a lot of times it goes. You know?
Exactly. And with library services, we're on the side of the patron.
Yeah.
We're advocating for the patron. So we're on their side when we're trying to navigate through information and trying to connect them with the best information possible to meet their information need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were telling me earlier about the CD collections, as far as like movies that you have, tell us about that. I thought that was pretty interesting.
We have a great collection of DVDs, everything from old classic movies and TV series to new releases that are just coming out. We have many, many patrons that are very active users of those DVDs. We have a 5 DVD limit so that somebody doesn't wipe us out. And we have several patrons who have quite a pattern of coming in several times a week, and they check out their 5 DVDs, take them home and watch them, bring them back, turn them in, check out 5 more DVDs, and are very, very active users of that collection.
Oh, yeah. Not only movies, but music as well.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, all kinds of things, fiction, nonfiction, TV series, theatrical releases, documentaries.
Okay.
All kinds of things.
Now, history of our library. We have a pretty neat library in that it's pretty historical.
It
right?
is.
And tell us a little bit about the history of our Jerseyville Library.
Sure. The Jerseyville Public Library, I think the original name was the Jerseyville Free Library, started actually prior to 1900 and was very actively run by a group of volunteers. They reached out to Andrew Carnegie, and he was a philanthropist that was building what came to be known as Carnegie Libraries in small towns all over America. And so they reached out to see if he would build a library for Jerseyville. And he required a certain amount of buy-in from the city and from the organizers. And when they met that expectation, then he agreed that he would build our building, started in 1902 and completed in 1904.
Yes, that's pretty cool. And if you have never been to the library, our library is pretty cool.
It's beautiful.
Especially upstairs.
Yes.
Go upstairs. It's very historic. The woodwork is beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
The millwork, the fireplaces, the dome. It's beautiful.
It is. I didn't know if you knew this or not, but did you notice upstairs in the library, there's a set of doors that are new, but they look like the old ones? Do you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Actually, I did that years ago.
Awesome.
Several years ago. And I was really happy to have that project because I'm a history buff myself.
Absolutely.
You know? And they go, well, we want a set of doors that look just like this set of doors. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's cool. All right.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. So just so you know, so you've.
So see, now you're part of the history of the Jerseyville Public Library.
Yes. So anything else that you want to comment that the library has to offer? I mean, I know they got some things to offer, right? As far as the thing that I think about is, you know, homeschooling seems to be really popular.
Yes.
I would think that would be a great spot to come to. And
we have several homeschool families that use our collections extensively. We are actually part of a system of several hundred libraries in the southern half of the state of Illinois. We have a daily courier that runs between all of those libraries. And so it's very easy to get things, even though we only have about 50,000 items in our physical collection.
Yeah.
Patrons can order from any of the libraries in our system and get them within just a few days. And that's such an advantage for homeschoolers and any of our patrons.
Yes.
I think it's important for the residents of the city of Jerseyville to know what a treasure we have, not just in our own building and with our own collections that we own, but the connections that we have throughout this entire part of the state and how easy it is to bring items in for whatever your information need is.
I was visiting with my niece, and she is going to homeschool two of her four children this year. And she was concerned. She goes, I think I can cover everything but history. I'm just not that up on history. And so me being a history buff, I start talking about some history, historical things she could teach, you know, just American history.
For sure.
But someone like that, they could come to the library, bring their kids to the library, and they could actually, you could help them get on the course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they could cover probably as well as if they were going to school, homeschooling, just with that library.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then bringing in things from other libraries as well. Absolutely.
Yes. So that's pretty cool. I will definitely let her know about that. Now, she doesn't live in Jerseyville. How does she use the library? Can she?
The Jerseyville Public Library is supported by the property taxes of the people who are residents of the city of Jerseyville, who own property in the city of Jerseyville.
Okay.
So if you own property in the city of Jerseyville, you already pay library taxes. And so that essentially is your ticket to get a library card for Jerseyville. The Jerseyville Library, we're a city library.
What if you don't?
If you live outside the city limits, you can get a non-resident card. And the cost of that card by state statute is the average amount that the city of Jerseyville resident would pay in their property taxes.
Okay.
So every year there's a formula that we do that's set out by state statute that takes into account the value of the city of Jerseyville, the size of households in the city of Jerseyville, and the, what's the average amount that the that a household in the city of Jerseyville pays in property taxes. And then that's the cost of a non-resident card for a household.
Do you have any idea what that might be?
For this year, it's $194.
Okay. Is that for one person or a family?
It's for a household.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that, which is basically what city residents are paying as well.
Sure.
They're just doing it in property taxes, and non-residents do it up front. And then by the time, you know, when they pay that, then they have access to all of our physical collections, plus all of our electronic collections, plus access to all of the other partner libraries in our system that I just talked about. It's a really great, really great deal.
Now, let's talk about the new expansion. Over 6,000 square feet being added to the library. That's that's pretty exciting. First of all, I ask you, how did we come about to create this expansion? Has this been going on probably been thinking about it or what?
It has. This was this has been a dream of my predecessor, Anita Driver, for more than a decade. And she beat down every bush trying to get funding for this expansion. If you know Anita at all, you know that she is tenacious.
Yes, she is.
And that she doesn't give up.
Yes.
And so she applied for every grant that came along and tried to figure out different ways to get funding for this expansion, because literally we are running out of room. We're busting at the seams for both collections and services and programming. And so she, before I came, actually right before the pandemic, our library was notified that we had been selected to receive a grant from the state of Illinois.
Super.
Yes. And so between that grant, which is $1.6 million.
Nice.
And then the city of Jerseyville offered to match that grant with a $1.6 million loan.
Yes.
And then the city of Jerseyville has also granted us $300,000 to cover the renovation of our parking lot and the site work that's around our property. And then again, Anita Driver has been an amazing fundraiser for this project for the past decade. And so we had accumulated a quite a nice little nest egg through different fundraisers for the library. And so from all of those sources of funding, we are covering the $4 million cost of this expansion. And it's a very exciting opportunity for our residents.
Yes. And so what will be included in the expansion? Tell me about it.
It is, like you said, a little over 6,000 square feet. It sits 40 feet out into the parking lot. It will start as a separate structure. That's what you're seeing now. If you drive by, they're pouring the footings for that structure.
Mm-hmm.
Once they raise that structure and enclose it, then they will connect the two facilities together. And then in that structure will be, eventually, hopefully by May of next year, that's the goal, adult fiction, will move from the upstairs right down there into that new structure. DVDs will the DVD collection will be in that structure. Large print, the study rooms that have been back, kind of in an old part of our building, will move out into that new space. A beautiful new teen area, which is our teen print book collection, as well as a gaming and lounge space, will
all
be in that new
teens,
space.
Huh?
Yeah, it'll be super nice.
Oh, yeah, sounds like it.
A new set of bathrooms, a new service desk. So all of the really high impact collections and services that we have will be in that new space. So when you come in the right in the entrance,
it'll be right there.
It'll be right there. Cool. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yes. Now, as far as the library goes, so you think that'll be done in May of next year?
Correct.
Okay. And now, as far as entering the library, what do people do? What are they doing now as far as to get to the library?
Yes. Right now, you enter off of Lafayette Street, which is around where the original Carnegie entrance was.
Right across from the courthouse.
Exactly. The entrance that's up those steep steps.
Don't take those. Yes.
But there's an entrance around the side of the building, and there's signage to guide you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of nice parking there on Lafayette. And then several neighbors have been really gracious. First Baptist Church welcomes people to park in their lot that's on Pearl Street across from the courthouse. The law enforcement training facility that's on the corner, they welcome people to park in their lot. There's actually a city lot that's kind of across from the post office that's available. So there's plenty of parking around. And then, like I said, lots of street parking on Lafayette. So there's parking in the interim. And then we're just using entrances that have always been there that haven't been used all day, every day, like they are right now.
Yes.
And so people are learning new ways to get to the library, but it's absolutely possible. And we're still open regular hours every day.
Well, tell us about, I know you have some special events coming
up.
We do. Right. Yeah. So what's the first special event? I think, is it in September?
It is. There is a national celebration every year. It has nothing to do with the library. It's a celebration called Good Neighbor Day, I think is what it's called. And we decided a couple of years ago that we wanted to have an expression of that celebration here in our community. And so we started a neighborhood block party. And so this year, our neighborhood block party is Thursday, September 26th, and it will be out in the street just like it was last year. We'll close Lafayette between Pearl and Exchange Streets, and we'll use that whole block. And
that'll be nice. It's so shaded
there. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Our event starts at 4:30 in the afternoon. The sheriff is going to be grilling hot dogs for everybody.
Yes, probably darn.
He absolutely is. Strang and Parrish will be giving out things. The library will be giving books to kids. We'll have a couple of story times with some celebrity readers. So that's going to be fun. You'll have to come see who they are.
Yeah.
There will be lots and lots of big trucks in the First Baptist Church parking lot. The ladder truck will be there from the fire department. G-Tech will have a vehicle there. There's a monster truck that comes every year so excited about. They're amazing. They lift kids up in and out of that truck for two solid hours. Last year, we don't know, you never know how busy the ambulance will be. But last year, the ambulance was able to come, and they actually put kids on stretchers and put them in and out of the ambulance. So kids have a great time interacting with the big trucks. And then this year, something new that we're doing is at 6:00, Flip the Frog is going to provide a mini concert for all the folks that attend the neighborhood.
Right out in the street?
Yep. So we will end this year with a little concert by Flip the Frog.
Yeah. And don't you every year also have like a Halloween festival?
We do. Actually, the city of Jerseyville has a Halloween festival. But over the years, it has become something that the library invests a lot of time into coordinating and running. And so that is actually at City Center across from the theater. Mm-hmm. And so we'll set up that morning. And of course, one of the main attractions of the Halloween festival is the costume contest.
Yes.
We have hundreds of contestants every year. All the way from little bitty babies to adults. And it's a judged contest. their age categories and great prizes. And then again, we'll have hot dogs. This time Royal Banks will be grilling hot dogs for us. We have...
And this will happen all next to Germania in that...
No, the city center lot that is across from the theater, right behind.
Oh, that lot.
Yep, right behind Terrapin Pizza and Redbird Deli.
That's where that lot right there. Happen.
That's where
that'll
that happens.
That'll be on Saturday, September 26th.
That one's October 26th.
Right
before Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah. And then another really wonderful feature of highlight of that festival is trick or treating up and down State Street. All
yes.
the merchants on State Street put out tables and hand out candy to all the little kids so they can trick or treat down State Street.
And that'll start at 10 a.m.?
It does.
Okay. So, wow, that is great. And you seem so excited about everything, which
is
really
exciting.
Great. Yes. We've ran out of time. Okay. So, do you have anything else that you want to throw in here?
If you have not visited the Jerseyville Public Library in a while, I challenge you to come visit us. I think you will be excited and surprised about everything we have to offer, about how much activity there is in our building, about how many of your neighbors are interacting with the library every day, and what kinds of things you might be able to find there, and what kinds of things you might be able to do there. So I would invite you to come visit us at the library.
Yes. I remember... not long ago, there was a fellow from NASA that was here, and I took my nephew there, and he loved it.
Yes.
He just—I mean, I loved it too, but he really loved it.
Yes,
and I actually had him back here on the Spotlight Show twice since then. Yeah, it was really cool. So, yeah, there's a lot of cool things going on at the library.
Absolutely,
and libraries aren't dull and boring like they may have been 100 years ago.
No.
Now they are exciting. Things are going on.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Judy, and have a great day.
Thank you so much.